Imagine with me, you're in a library. You randomly grab 66 books off the shelves all over the library. Fiction, nonfiction, maybe an autobiography, or maybe even Mechanics Weekly. What would happen if you sat down, read parts of each book at random, and then decided to apply them exactly to your life? Sounds like a recipe for disaster. I would say so. But this is how some people try to approach the Bible and then get frustrated because it's like, what is this even trying to say? What? I don't even understand it. So they quit trying to read it all together, and it turns into a nice doorstop leaf presser, or something you know will always be in a hotel room drawer. It would be like looking at an individual pixel on your computer screen. There's no way to see the whole picture unless you take a step back and look at all the pixels together. When we look at this book, so you can see many different versions behind me here, when we look at it together, it can make sense. The scriptures can come alive for us, shape us, and move us. In Psalm 119, 165, it says, "The people who love your instruction enjoy peace, and lots of it. There's no stumbling for them. I have found peace in the scriptures, found hope. Sometimes I'll Google a scripture that deals with sadness or grief or anger or whatever I may be feeling. And in whatever I may be feeling or dealing with at that time. And I am looking to find that peace or that hope. I'll then look it up in my Bible. And almost every time I end up reading the whole chapter because I want to know the context. It draws me in for more. It gets me thinking, what is the historical background of this scripture? Who wrote it? Now, maybe some of you are thinking, geez, I have to have a seminary degree to understand this thing. But I don't think we do. I think the Bible was written just for the everyday folks like us sitting here today. If we look for that hope, that peace, we'll find it right there in the pages written so long ago, but still relevant today. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Never stop speaking about this instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you will accomplish your objectives and you will succeed." Now, I'm not insisting that you all go home, memorize the Bible, or that I'll be quizzing you next week to see if you can recite a bunch of scripture. If you remember just a minute or so ago, I did tell you that I still Google scriptures. Also, not saying that you obey everything. I mean, heck, I'm mixing fabric as I speak. And in Deuteronomy chapter 22, it states, this is a thou shall not do in the Bible. However, I share this passage with you for a couple reasons. One, to remind us that we are called to do, to live in the Word, soak it up, question it, learn it. And second, it makes me recall a conversation I had while I was home in Wisconsin this past week, helping my sister and brother-in-law with my new baby nephew, Corbin. I spent some time with my 92-year-old grandmother as well. She was asking about Highlands United Methodist Church and what I was preaching on today. And when I told her we were wrapping up the sermon series exploring the Bible, she told me of a story when she was a young girl growing up on a Wisconsin farm with her 12 brothers and sisters, and how her mother would read her and her siblings the Bible and teach them the Ten Commandments. She smiled as she was remembering being a young girl trying to live out the love thy neighbor commandment, and how living on a farm, she really only had a couple neighbors surrounding her in the surrounding few miles. She said she was so upset because there was a boy at a neighboring farm that would always run away from her and never wanted to play with her. She couldn't understand how she was supposed to love that neighbor. And only having just a few neighbors, how difficult it would be for her to follow the commandment, and how she almost felt cheated because she had so few neighbors to truly live out God's word. Now, even though my grandmother recited it over and over, like the scripture tells us to do in Joshua, her child mind interpreted it differently than it was intended. How many times have we gotten in conversation with someone about scripture, and the person we are talking to interprets it completely different than us? As a lesbian called to ministry standing in front of you today, I can think about 8 to 10 scriptures right off the bat that I may interpret just a little differently than someone else. Which, by the way, shameless plug, join us next week as we kick off our June Pride Month sermon series on affirming scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it states, "But you must continue with the things you have learned and found convincing. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good." Now, I wasn't here last week. As I said, I was in Wisconsin, and I started writing my sermon based on the scriptures that I have read to you. And last night, I couldn't sleep. I get a little antsy the night before I preach, and so I decided to hop online. I went to highlandsumc.com and looked under sermons, where, by the way, if you miss a Sunday, I invite you to go on highlandsumc.com, and you can catch up on all the sermons. But I went on to see what Brad preached on last week. So if you were here last week, you may be thinking, huh, I feel like I've heard these verses recently. Come to find out, he used 2 Timothy chapter 3 as well. But whether you are hearing it for the first time, second time, 100th time, this is a great reminder that every scripture is inspired by God. Inspired by God. When you are reading the Bible and it's confusing and making no sense at all to you, remember, it is inspired by God. Maybe it won't make sense to you in that moment, but when the time is right, get ready for that aha moment when that Holy Spirit enters. An unknown writer, I think, said it best when describing the Bible. They say this: "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Read it to be wise, believe in it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity." The Bible is a living book because the Holy Spirit is all over it. When we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit can use it to speak directly to us. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you read a passage that you've read many times before, but suddenly it hits you in a different way? I think that's the Holy Spirit. It takes the truth of the Bible and makes it real to us. It reminds us of what we should be doing or not doing. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the people of Jerusalem had finally finished rebuilding the wall. Ezra brought out the Bible, which they had not done in a long time, and began to read it. And the people were captivated by its message. They began to weep, recognizing all the ways they had not been following what God wanted for them. Their lives were transformed. Maybe like those people in Jerusalem, it's been a while since you spent any time in the Bible. Maybe you need to go home this afternoon and dust it off and spend a little time in it. This morning, I want to call you to a fresh commitment to reading the Bible. Dive into the scripture. Where is the Holy Spirit working? Where are you finding the God-inspired word? What is Jesus teaching you? Let's dust off the Bibles and answer these questions. Amen.